David Brothers in The Forecast will tell you that Power Girl is possibly the best book DC is publishing. Power Girl, readable. This September, vote no on Forecast. David Brothers, wrong on Power Girl, wrong on podcasting. This message brought to you by FunnyBookBabylon.com.
All right, this is our first forecast of 2010, or 2010, depending on what your favorite way to say it is.
Goodbye to the aughts.
Yeah. Did anyone actually ever call it the aughts until, like, fall 2009?
I thought it was December 2009.
Yeah.
It was like, really we're getting recent. Down to the wire. Let's find something to call this decade.
Yeah. But 2010 should be pretty cool. But I think that going into 2010, we should talk about 2009 some more.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't do that enough in 2009.
No.
But, so, a year in review. What do you got?
I got Batgirl.
All right.
That's the one that stands out for me because she, the first hints were in February at WonderCon.
Oh, yeah.
And
with the posters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, no, it was just like a little hint. Ian Sattler was doing the DC Q&A and said that they were going to have a Batman or a Batgirl comic coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But then also said that Cassandra Cain was not going to be part of the whole Bat clan. And you could hear the there's going to be a Batgirl.
Like a cheer slash groan.
Yay! And then later, no, Cassandra Cain won't be part of the Bat family. Kind of a murmur through the audience, like, ah.
So close.
Then a frenzy of anticipation, then anticipation, exhaustion.
Yeah.
And then the book, which worried me for a while there.
It's reading your play-by-plays is always interesting because it seems almost like, so I'm not really a Joss Whedon fan, but every Whedon fan I know is like, give all of his shows like 6 episodes or whatever, or all of his comics like a year, and then you'll be really into it. Which, okay. Mm. But with Batgirl, it seems like 4 issues in, like it suddenly turned into like a pretty good comic.
Yeah. It's that first story where everyone's just angry. It's like the detritus of all of the other comics, which I still wish they hadn't done.
Yeah.
Because
just get to the point.
Yeah. Again, if I want to see people being really, really horrible to each other, I'll go watch Revolutionary Road. But as soon as they ditch that, and now that Damian's come in, it's a really fun book. It's just, except for the occasional rawr outburst.
You gotta have drama somehow, I guess, and that's the easiest way to do it.
I think the more the insides match the cover, the better it gets.
Oh, yeah, and the new one's is it Roxy Rocket?
Roxy Rocket.
Yeah, fighting Batgirl over the streets of Gotham.
Is Roxy Rocket a longtime character?
She was a Superman character. Like Livewire, or Superman cartoon character. I don't think she's from the comics until recently.
I remember seeing one Batman episode, the
Girls Night Out?
Not the Girls Night Out. That was Poison Ivy, Harley, and Supergirl and Batgirl. It's where she's just facing off against Batman, and they do the whole she gets off on the thrill, except they do it very explicitly for a kid's cartoon. Where she's like, they're sitting on a rocket, it's heading into a cliff. Mm-hmm. She's like, now I understand. Let's go all the way together or something.
Oh, man.
Like, Batman showing them to children.
Batman was really bad for that. Because I think it was one of the Creeper episodes, had a, there was like a Harley Quinn and Joker also in it.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where Harley is completely covered in, like, vanilla pudding.
Yes! I remember that.
and like singing a song. And like I remember telling my grandfather, like, hey, check this out, this is a really good cartoon, this is one of my favorite episodes. And like halfway through, just my head was in my hands, like, oh my goodness. But oh, I actually looked up the Wikipedia for Roxy Rocket, and it says she was created in 1994 for Batman Adventures Annual Number 1, which was the comic based on the cartoon, mm-hmm. and then incorporated into the cartoon in 1998. So she's like reverse Harley Quinn.
Yeah, she's a Bat character.
But. Yeah. And she was in Nighttime, an episode of Superman the Animated Series, which I hope was the one where Batman and Superman had to trade places. That Superman wore Batman's costume and was cleaning up Gotham.
That was.
Because that was an amazing episode.
And used his super ventriloquism.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
And freaked out Bane.
Yeah.
Man, yeah.
And had to keep being reminded not to smile.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yes.
Batgirl.
Digression aside.
The covers are really fantastic, and mm-hmm. the more the insides match, just fun and lighthearted and kind of in the spirit of the early Batgirl. Okay, when I say early Batgirl, I mean early Barbara Gordon kind of characters, the better it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Damian, who I usually do not like, but he's fantastic comic relief.
I need to actually read the latest one, because I saw the one panel of him, like, standing alone by a tree or something.
Yes.
And, like, the art was really good, which drew my eye to it. Mm-hmm. But also, apparently, it's from a really good scene, too. So, I don't know. I'll have to pick it up. Or, like, Batgirl zings him, and he's like, oh, I'm so alone all the time, or something like that.
They zing each other.
Yeah.
Which is part of the fun.
Yeah.
And, that panel is, she's having a conversation with a guy I don't like, but she has a crush on, and I don't approve,
mm-hmm.
but, and then he says, look, I'll talk to you later after that creepy omen-looking kid stops stalking you. And then she turns around, and then you see him by the tree with the crows.
That's great. And so, fitting.
Yeah.
I've really grown to like Damian. Like, since I've been reading Batman, or since he's been introduced, I guess, because he's just...
Is he a 2009 thing?
No, he was early in Grant Morrison's run, so, like, maybe even 2006.
Wow.
Six or seven.
That's a long time.
Yeah, he's been around for a while, but there was, like, a good maybe year between his first appearance and his most recent.
Yeah.
Because he had the fake explosion death in his first...
But his
first.
Robin is a 2009 thing.
Yes,
so
that
we'll
is true.
So we'll go with that.
And it's just that he's very much, like, what if Bruce Wayne's parents had lived? Because Bruce Wayne would be a total brat if he grew up super rich and had everything he wanted.
They keep saying that, but every single time I see them, they're always being really strict with him.
Hmm.
And, okay, occasionally, you know, we love you.
Yeah.
You know, they do the good unconditional love, but in Hush, they did that thing where he and his friend wandered away in Metropolis because they saw the Green Lantern fighting mm-hmm. a supervillain. And, Thomas Wayne had brought them there for like a fun weekend, and he said, well, since I can't trust you, you're gonna be in my hotel room the entire weekend. And you see them like both sadly sitting there staring out at the rain. And another one, when they say they don't approve of him fighting, mm-hmm. this is how Alfred like joined the Alfred when Alfred first became the family servant thing. It was a whole flashback story.
Yeah.
And young Bruce Wayne, who's 6, 7 at mm-hmm. the time, comes home with a black eye and, like, scraped up and everything. And they say, we want an explanation for this. And he just looks sad and won't say anything. And then they say, well, then we're going to send you to bed without supper. And the thing is, even if he had been fighting, that is beat up.
Yeah, really
I mean,
is.
When your 7-year-old comes home with a black eye and, like, scrapes, you don't say, go to bed without supper. You're like, oh my God, what happened to you?
Well, Thomas Wayne is a doctor, so he could probably look and go, oh, he'll be fine in the morning.
As long as he doesn't eat.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think he would, I mean, in all the alternate realities, he's spoiled rich boy, but...
But I guess that gives him a chance for a character arc where he goes from spoiled rich boy to crazy bad hero.
anyway. Man. Robin Damian, 2009.
Yeah, no, he's the first three issues.
This is why we didn't talk about 2009 enough during 2009.
Because there was so much of it, or because we talked about the same thing?
We tend to wander. Well, I do. Go on.
But the Grant Morrison, Frank Quitely, Batman and Robin, like the first arc, was so entertaining to me because Damian is a true jerk. Like, in a very real way, Damian and Dick are, like, the two halves of Bruce Wayne's personality. Or, like, I guess Batman's kind of personality is the best word for it. Because Nightwing is, like, the hopeful, the true hero, you know, while Damian is the guy who would make a laser satellite to spy on his friends. And he's like, you know, I'm Bruce Wayne's son. Really, I should be Batman, and you should be Robin. It's just kind of how he approaches it. And he's 10 years old, and I don't know why, but that is amazingly entertaining to me. Little kids being jerks, I don't know. But, like, that's definitely a highlight of the year. Has the art team on Batgirl changed, or is it still the same artists?
Cover artists the same. I'm not sure about the inner interior art.
Because one thing that... I both love it and hate it about Batman and Robin is that the art changes each time.
Yeah.
Because it gives each arc, like, a nice look, but then, like, the book itself is a little more varied.
Frazier Irving's coming up, right?
He's, I think, two arcs away. Cameron Stewart's next, and then Andy Clark, and then Frazier Irving, and then Frank Quitely.
I really, really love his art.
He's a lot of fun. He did a really good Robin story. Well, he drew a pretty Robin story.
The,
With Clary and the Witch Boy.
Witch Boy.
That was a trip.
Yeah.
He also did a good Iron Man miniseries a few years back, and it was actually, it probably fit really well with the movie now that that's out, but it was about the Living Laser, who is like bright purple. What's the laser purple? There's a bright purple villain in the book. It's been a while since I read it, but it was similar, like really great character work, really nice painterly kind of style. But Cameron Stewart on Batman and Robin, I am super excited for, and that's January 2010. So we'll have to come back to that later.
See, I like, I feel like there's just no way in hell that Damian would be Robin if they were keeping everyone in character.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he cut off a guy's head and then he tried to kill the other Robin.
Yeah.
That's a psychopath.
Even Jason didn't quite go that far.
Okay, I don't know exactly what psychopath means in clinical terms. That's a crazy nutball.
Yeah.
This keeps us in the vernacular.
And also he put a grenade in the head of the guy whose head he cut off.
So. Yeah, as a plan to kill Robin, where he's like, look, it's a head.
Boom. It's the old Trojan horse with the grenade inside trick.
What didn't they think of that?
Exactly.
And so it's just like, why is he being Robin? Yeah. But then again, maybe two lax standards are what we need now. Or it's just it's fun, we'll go with it.
Yeah.
The only thing that kind of bugs me about him is sometimes the books tend to take pains to show that he is better than everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he fixes something about the Batmobile that Bruce Wayne couldn't fix, and then he says, oh, I'll do the calculations for Wayne Industries, and then he outfights people. I've grown to like him better once they stop pushing the, you know...
He's awesome.
Yeah. Damian Wayne is the son of Satan, and thus perfect in every way.
Though, in a way, like, it almost makes sense, because he hasn't had a childhood at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like being in the Matrix. Only the Matrix is your crazy mother who wants you to grow up to be an assassin. You're not king of the assassins, I'm sorry.
Okay, but still, I mean, that's, what, 9 years?
Yeah.
To go from basically learning how to focus your eyes.
Yeah.
To understanding the accountancy.
He was done with that by week one of his mother's pregnancy.
But she wasn't pregnant. She was conceived in an artificial... Or he was in an artificial womb.
Yeah. That's right.
He was carried. She wasn't conceived. Which I don't know why they would do that. That whole Batman cooperated magnificently with the eugenics experiment. Yeah, I don't know what exactly happened there. Probably
I still say there's like half sour grapes and half true. I mean, it's like that wasn't on purpose. We're never talking about this again, you know. But they're slowly starting to do more of the Damien could actually be a real hero sometime sort of thing. Yeah. In between being like a monumental jerk to everyone.
I think that's Streets of Gotham, didn't it? Where it's like he had his now it's personal moment.
A little, yeah. Also in Batman and Robin.
I haven't read because it's just too...
It's the one where the small prostitute girl was almost set on fire and Batman was just like, well, win some, lose some, you know. Yeah.
And then now they have a...
Dustin Nguyen.
Like, I picked it up on the shelf and... From the shelf and just looked through it and the latest one is they have a ring where they force people to fight to the death.
Only Batman it's and Robin kids. Do?
Not just
stupid
evil
question.
People.
But for a minute, I was like, wait a minute, are they training for the fourth or fifth Robin? I don't know. But yeah, Kid Fight Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll
to
pass.
The death. There's just like, no, I don't want to. I just feel bad that I even know about that.
So. Yeah. There was, in Batman and Robin, they've done it a couple times. Because he rescued the Sasha, the redheaded girl.
Yeah.
And he felt kind of responsible for her well-being. And I thought that was kind of cool that he's, like, slowly learning how to be a person. Which is so much better than him picking up, like, random girls in the Batmobile and going cruising around the woodside.
Also, he's 10.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He's 10 years old.
He would have been 9 then. I mean, that's still at the girls are icky stage, isn't it? I don't know.
Pretty much. Unless he's also, like, awesome at puberty.
If he is, never tell me.
Yeah, I'll pass on that one. But yeah, so Batgirl, Batman, that was good in 2009. I really liked, I bought a lot of, like, just straight to graphic novel books this year.
Mm-hmm.
Parker, Asterios Pileup, either of which I could talk about for probably days at a time.
I think we already did the Parker
for
days
we did.
At a time. But, I was like, when we turned it, I clicked on the forecast like 3 weeks in a row. Oh, we're still talking about Parker. Didn't seem that long at the time,
really.
But
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Asterios Pileup was, I want to say eye-opening, but that's like cliche movie talk tour de force sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But just the way like the art and the story, I think the art was way better than the story. It was very like a very formal masterpiece. While the story was pretty much just like a guy like comes to terms with being old and being kind of a jerk earlier in his life.
So as good as it gets.
Yeah. But just the way everything came together in the end and like the art tricks were like really cool to see on the paper. It actually has probably the second saddest scene because Pluto topped it for sad scenes with the latest volume. But have you read it?
Spoil me.
All right. So, this Asterios Pileup, the title character, marries a woman named Hannah, and they have, like, a really nice relationship. He thinks in, like, blocks and figure work. He thinks in very, kind of, sketchier art. Mm-hmm. And when they come together, they make an entire figure, which is one of the art things that, like, I loved. And there's a bit where they're talking, and she's recently gotten a new job. And there's this, like, pretty creepy, I guess producer is the word for him. He's working on art installations and movies and things. And he's always doing, like, the weird, like, I'm hitting on you, but I'm not hitting on you thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where he actually is definitely hitting on her.
Yeah.
And Asterios and Hannah are talking in their house, and they get into an argument, and then finally she's like, why do you keep letting him talk to me that way? And, like, the next panel is them just completely apart, like, in their separate styles.
Aww.
And, like, it's super sad. But, like, it's a good book. It's totally worth reading. Also a highlight of 2009. I like books that can show me something new. Because, like, I've seen really good art. Like, I love J.H. Williams. Frank Quitely has, like, amazing acting. But, like, for the actual page itself to be part of the story, it's pretty new to me. And also, it's...
For me, it's... I've seen some of that, but... So often, it just seems like a cute idea that gets in the way of the story.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. It's something that you have to... It takes, like, graphic design in addition to, like, just being able to draw, like, knowing how the eye moves across the page and, like, what pulls your eye in, what puts your eye out. Mm. Yeah, Christmas Story. That was an accident. But, with... Brian Bendis's Daredevil has a lot of, like, talking head panels. And sometimes the page is, there's, like, art in this corner, and art down here, and just words. You know, and it's like long word balloons, and it doesn't look good. Like, it's, the story's good, but you're just like, oh, it's like reading a novel, you know? But to have that kind of come together, I really like. But yeah, other than Batman?
So, a while ago, I heard you talking about Criminal.
Oh, yeah. Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips.
Has that come out?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Absolutely. Like, it's, I think we're 3 issues in so far. And it's about, like, the reluctant hitman who's like, oh, well, I don't know if I want to kill this guy or not. He seems like a pretty cool dude. And it's... Actually, Ian Brill was talking about it on Twitter earlier today, and he said that what he likes about it is that there's a lot of storylines going on that are all going to fall onto one guy's head. And there's the guy he has to kill. He has to find who's killing these mob guys. There's a story of who's actually killing the mob guys. And then there's the triad and the fact that the hitman left the military. He went AWOL. And so a military investigator is in town looking for him. And in the latest issue, basically, to spoil the story, what you find out in issue one, it's kids killing these mobster people on behalf of a priest at this church. And from what I can tell so far, it's that, like, these people are ruining the neighborhood. And the priest... maybe his morals are a little loose, and maybe these kids have been directly affected by, you know, the mob people. So the kids are beating people up in alleys and shooting people in the head. But in the latest issue, one of the kids...
very kick-ass.
But not quite as exploitation-based. Like, it's more kind of sad in execution. But one of the kids actually meets a military investigator, and who's been asking around town. He's like, hey, can I see that picture of that guy? I think I know who you're talking about. So all the stories are slowly starting to come together. And in the end, he's screwed. I think that's what it's going to come down to. But it's a good crime tale. It's all, like, dark alleyways and shadowed forests, so it's pretty much my favorite
setting.
Remind me,
was that the guy who refused to kill women, too?
Yes. He's a killer with a code.
That's just strange. But,
yeah. He's just, like, he's not a bad guy, but he's a good guy who's very good at doing bad things.
Just seems like a bad career path. If you want to kill bad people, just go kill bad people. Don't be like, I'll kill whoever you want, except for women and people I think are okay.
Yeah. I've been rereading Hitman over the break, and he's another, like, basically every fourth issue he has to tell somebody, like, hey, I don't really kill good guys, I just kill bad guys, so don't arrest me. You know? Like, he has a whole speech to Batman that he gives, and Batman's like, one day it's me and you, and he's like, oh, whatever, I'm leaving. But it doesn't make much sense for a career move, but it makes for a good story.
Yeah,
because you've got a conflicted hero who will still, you know, shoot people when it gets down to it. And also, that's another cool thing, is that if he doesn't kill women and children, and the people doing the killing are kids, like, how is this going to end up in the end?
Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me.
So I'm pretty sure the kids would kill him.
Let's see. Captain America coming back. That was 2009.
Yes, that was a mixed bag. The story... it's still a good story, but it's not as good as it was. I think putting it as its own separate mini-series of slash event in Captain America Reborn kind of hurt it a little bit. Because it's... like, several months late at this point. Probably, I think, 3 months behind schedule or something.
Ooh.
Yeah. And the story isn't really... like, the story is seriously Captain America's lost in time, so he's, like, tripping on acid for the first 4 issues. While his friends are in the present trying to figure out what's going on. And he figures out a way to send a message to the present. And then it's, like, Red Skull takes over Captain America's body. And in the next issue, they're going to fight in their heads. Bucky's gonna be like, remember who you are, Captain America, and Captain America's gonna, you know, take control of the body.
Yes.
Which Marvel actually already spoiled in a comic that came out that's leading up to their next event, which actually had a little, like, this book comes after Captain America Reborn number 6. Sorry, folks.
At least they said sorry.
Yeah. So it's kind of a foregone conclusion. So, but it's still good. It's not as good as it should be. I think after this, it'll be very good.
You felt like it would have been better if they just brought it back
in the normal series, which I know would never happen because Captain America dying was like CNN news. Captain America coming back, I think it made the New York Post. So, nowhere near as big. But, do you read Superman at all?
Yeah.
How is that going with the Superman not being in the books?
Not... it seems like they're looping around the world of New Krypton, and things are happening, but I don't know. I guess it depends on whether you're predisposed to enjoy that kind of book. But if you're looking for just a Superman story, not so much.
I was talking to Chris Eckert earlier today before we started recording, and he was telling me about how Jimmy Olsen faked his death, where he was apparently shot by someone named Codename Assassin, which is a really horrible code name, first of all. Like, shot, fell off a bridge and into some water, and then someone from the Legion of Superheroes found him and healed him, and then Jimmy Olsen put all of his ID stuff into a corpse along the river and faked his death.
And the person, the corpse?
I don't know. It just sounds like they take a lot of really weird leaps.
Yeah.
And also, like, Jimmy Olsen, he still seems like he should be 16 years old to me, and faking your death and, like, manhandling corpses seems like a bit much. That's just probably an old fogey talking.
Kids these days.
Yeah, all on my lawn with their rock and roll. But, so, 2010?
2010.
Resolutions, suggestions, hopes, pipe dreams. Because that's all I got.
Pipe dreams, Batgirls with Cassandra and Stephanie.
I'm down with that. And with a Barbara Gordon backup story. Like, set in the 60s, so it's like super period mod piece.
That would be so cool! Except now it couldn't be set in the 60s, because if she were a teenager in the 60s...
Oh, well, you just hand wave that. It's just like, oh, in an imaginary story. But I actually really associate Batgirl with, like, the swingin' 60s, or whatever they were called. Maybe that was the swingin' 20s. Whatever the 60s were called, adjective, decade, that's what I think of when I think Batgirl. But for me, my biggest pipe dream would be absolute Flex Mentallo, which will never happen because the Charlie Atlas Corporation, I guess, won their lawsuit or whatever went on. But it's still my favorite superhero story. Like, it's just total love letter. And DC can never reprint it because it uses the Hero of the Beach guy. Like, make yourself a muscle man in 6 days. And never happen. Yeah.
That was just sad.
Yeah, it was. Batgirls would be good.
Batgirls would be good. Or Batgirl and Spoiler.
Yeah. I'd be okay with her being, like, more than one Batgirl.
Yeah.
But then I like dumb jokes, like when people have the same name and someone calls the name, they both look and go, what? I grew up on Full House, like, I can't, I don't know. All those kind of jokes, like... But yeah, different pipe dream. I want more animated features. Like, not necessarily just directed DVD, but, like, theatrical pieces where they work with, like, a huge budget,
that
which hopefully
cool.
With Disney like owning Marvel now is a gonna be a reality. Though it's probably at least a year off, but like we should get some pretty awesome sketches this year at least.
Did you ever see Batman Mask of the Phantasm?
Yeah, that was good.
That was good. It was a surprisingly good Batman movie.
There was it Mystery of the Batwoman?
Yes.
I thought that one was just okay, but I really liked the design for the Batwoman costume. Like that weird kind of spacey silver looking thing.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a bug, but... Resolutions. You said you had maybe a couple of those.
Yeah, but they're for other people, so that doesn't really count.
It'll count this once.
Resolutions. Well, first resolution is if you're going to kill off a main character, decide which book you're going to do it in. Mm. So we don't spend like 2 weeks going, is he dead? Is he dead? Wait, he's alive again? Oh, no, oh, they brought him back to life just to kill him? Did that kill him? What happened? How did he die?
Who got killed in several books?
Batman.
Oh, yeah.
When they plunged him into the helicopter and they had that whole...
Yeah. Dick Grayson standing on the rock with the bat cowl. Which apparently he took off before...
Again, I love that apparently a plunge into the ground, fiery helicopter, kills Batman, does not kill the Joker.
It was into the water. Or no, I think it was into the water both times. Maybe Batman is the Joker. No.
No. We've seen them together.
Yeah. No, it could be... Oh.
It could be a Superman robot dressed as the Batman costume.
I was going to say Alfred, because that's another one of the dumb Batman things that they've done that I really enjoyed. Where it's either Alfred dressed up as Bruce Wayne or Alfred dressed up as Batman and kind of standing in the shadows. And it's like, look, I'm Bruce Wayne over here and there's Batman. Who knew? Spider-Man and Daredevil do that like once every 5 years. There's a story where they just trade costumes for no reason. Yeah.
And then they actually kill him off in Final Crisis.
Final Crisis.
Final Crisis. How many crises?
Yeah. That was way more convoluted than it needed to be.
I can see why they did it. I mean, they wanted to launch into Batman's dead. What do we do now?
Yeah.
But really, I pick a book.
Have a base title, and then all the other books just copy that death scene.
Yeah. Other resolutions. I would like to see, honestly, as ridiculous as it is, I would like to see no name character deaths for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And no intra superhero fighting for a year.
Oh, that is so old at Marvel right now. I think intra superhero works.
But like even just yelling and we all hate each other.
Yeah.
They had Black Canary and Green Arrow in Cry for Justice. Did you see that?
No.
Were they...
Aren't they married?
They're married. And she's like, where were you? You're going off with this rogue team. Blah, I hate you.
Yeah.
And he's like, pretty bird, you're looking really ugly right now. And you're like...
Okay, daddy-o. Yeah, no, Marvel's been... Yeah.
Just like, get along, people.
And yeah. And no more cheap drama.
And then someone rips Roy's arm off.
I saw but that just, page, and like out of, by itself, it was kind of funny. I didn't read the rest of the series, like no other pages in that book. But like I was like, oh, he's an archer, he has no arm, I get it.
I like that. Honestly, I'm kind of interested in seeing Arsenal Rising, the JLA one.
I forget who's writing it, but there was something that made me kind of go,
or did it,
nah.
It's not Red Arrow Rising, is it? Because
it's
Red
like
Arrow
the rise of, no, the fall of Arsenal and the rise of Green Arrow, or something like that. It's got a weird title.
Oh, that's Hannibal Rising.
The Rise of Arsenal.
The Rise of Arsenal. Finally, back to that name.
Yeah.
I mean, Kingdom Come.
Injustice
I'm sure
League,
it's a great
Cry
story,
for Justice.
But we don't need to go there.
Oh, I agree. And it's a really dumb name.
Yes.
Roy Harper lost everything at the hands of Prometheus, barely surviving the brutal severing of his arm.
I like, wait. By the hand of Prometheus, because...
Is that not in the book?
No. It's a big mystery. He just goes out and he's like, oh, I'm going to call my daughter. And then he comes back with no arm. And he's like, they took my arm! And then he collapses. But it's a big mystery as to who took his arm.
Well, on March 24th... Oh, wow. So, but when he finally awakens from his coma, Roy will find that his... His dangerous journey into despair is just beginning.
Oh, crap.
Have fun
rising
with that one.
People, the rise!
So then it must be follow Green Arrow. Oh, so you know what? I bet Green Arrow is going to kill Prometheus. And then he's going to be like, oh, I have to quit the Justice League now because I'm a killer. Again, after having killed several people over my career.
Yes, I know. Dude has killed people.
I feel like Green Arrow is the most likely to have killed several people.
And Diana's killed people too. She's leading the Justice League.
She's probably like giving out brain concussions.
And again, they called her Rambitch. So
was that in Cry for Justice?
No, that was in the Green Arrow series.
Wow.
Where they're like, no, now Ollie gets kidnapped and tortured, and then she comes in and saves him.
Yeah.
And the people are like, get Rambitch or something like that. And she's like, I kill you all. That's Don't worry, Ollie, clever. I'll save the last two bullets for us, and then they're saved somehow.
Like, I can understand if it actually rhymed with Rambo, but that's just lame.
Maybe it was Rambimbo?
Rambo, I could see.
I'm pretty sure they put bitch in there.
Yeah, that was when Green Arrow was like vaguely adult.
Yeah.
Sometimes people would be naked.
Yeah, you'd see Wang.
Yeah. But, man. And this cover, let me actually make this larger so you can see it.
Why can't anyone be happy anymore?
I mean, it's funny, right?
Yes.
It's Red Arsenal. Red Arsenal. This is why he needs a proper name.
You sound like you're worried about the commies.
Man, it's Roy Harper with one arm off, like a broken bow and arrow behind him, and like blood scattered across the cover and screaming at the sky.
Come on!
It couldn't get more cliche if it tried. That is amazing. But
I'm hoping they keep the journey into despair in one issue, and then he's like, I found a reason to live, I'm happy now.
I just hope it's him just sitting like on his bed depressed for 6 issues.
I'd take that too.
And then maybe like 8 pages into the 6th issue, he can get up out of his bed and go rescue his daughter, who I'm sure is going to get kidnapped over the course of the series. I sound like
but,
a pessimist.
Okay, 3.
Yeah.
Forget that you can kill them off in as many books as you want. 1. No, this time it's personal. They're going after my family.
Oh, yeah.
2. No character deaths. 3. The character,
fighting.
The heroes get along.
Yeah.
They should get along.
You would think so. They used to.
If the only reason that there's any interest in the book is the heroes are incredibly mean to each other, there's no reason to be interested in the book. So that's what I'd like.
That's fair.
Where they're like, we are out. All our heroes, we're trying our best to stop other people from hurting innocent lives. Not like, I'm going to murder the hell out of everyone because they killed my daughter. You know?
Yeah, it does get old.
And shut up you for saying I should do anything different.
Maybe it was 2004, 2005. It's been like a good at least 4 years. Of crossovers and stories. There was Avengers Disassembled, which is about the Avengers versus the Scarlet Witch, who is also an Avenger, who is baby crazy and killed a lot of her friends. Not a joke. Basically, she found out that she once had twins by a robot and that there was mind wiping and magic, and it was kind of a bad story.
Mm-hmm.
The next one was...
I thought the Scarlet Witch's power was to subtly alter probability until things go well for her.
At first,
or for whatever she wants.
Eventually just turned into like, hey, she knows magic. Like, literally a wizard did it. But the next crossover was House of M, which was also about the Scarlet Witch. She changed the entire world into basically being an Elseworld where everyone got what they wanted. So the Avengers had to fight her at the end of that. After that was Civil War, which was hero versus hero, and then World War Hulk, which was Hulk versus everyone, and then the newest one, Secret Invasion, which technically all the heroes teamed up at the end. They were fighting people who looked just like them, so kind of like it's hero versus hero. It's getting a little
old.
Isn't
there any crime anymore?
Oh no, the criminals are running the government. But like the new thing Marvel is saying is that their next, I guess, status quo is the heroic age where all the heroes are kind of like buddy-buddy like they used to be back in the day. So,
yay.
That should be interesting.
I'm hoping that takes off, then DC will copy it.
Yeah.
And a new age will begin.
But, resolutions. I agree with your hero fighting hero thing, because that's boring at this point and like so cliche. But more graphic novels. Like, I know DC's doing Earth One, and that's okay-ish. I don't know why they're doing origin stories. But just like, hey, I've got this great Batman story. It's 120 pages long. Mm-hmm. Put it out as a book. You know, get it all at once. Keep like the same creative team on books more often. So that instead of like Greg Rucka and J.H. Williams on Detective Comics is great, because it's like clearly their vision. Mm-hmm. Like, they sit down, they hash out the phone calls and everything. It's not just a writer with a script and then an artist who looks at the script and then it goes off to an editor. Mm-hmm. It's actually like creative vision. If I can get art student about it for a little bit. Like, I like books where I can tell that everyone involved really likes working on the book. Mm-hmm. Or like cares about it. But what are you looking forward to? Other than,
you know,
the
I'm
adventures of Roy Harper
to...
and his arm. He's totally going to get a robot arm, by the way. I'm willing to bet. I bet it'll shoot arrows.
I hope it can... okay, I'm thinking it's probably going to be a robot. I mean, there's no cyborg.
Yeah.
But there's also the magic seawater arm.
Oh, yeah. We haven't seen that in a while.
Which, okay, one of the novelizations that I kind of enjoyed was... Inheritance by Devin Grayson, don't judge me.
Was that the one with the bathtub and they're all just like hanging out and bromancing it up?
I don't recall a bathtub.
Or maybe a hot tub.
No, there's no hot tub.
She wrote some book where there was like...
Oh, that's the Smallville story.
Okay, yeah.
Where I remember she talked about that, where she said, I wrote about Clark Kent and Lex Luthor in a hot tub.
Which, hey, good on her. She
yes. I've seen enough Wonder Woman and, you know, female character slumber parties.
Yeah.
But.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot even remember where this conversation started. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Where, that was when Arthur had the magic seawater hand.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy's line was... You know, his, like, entrance line is, how do you wash it? Which is awesome. I actually love that.
Wow.
How
it's
do you wash your magic seawater? Yes! So I want to see him, like, explore the dynamics of this.
Does it make sandwiches soggy when he makes a sandwich?
When you want to sleep, can you just put it up to your ear?
See, this is why we need, like, an anthology DC comic of just, like, 8-page stories.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to, honestly, all the straight-to-DVD movies.
Mm-hmm.
I really like those.
Oh, the Earth 1, Earth 2?
The Crisis on Two Earths.
Yeah, that one looks good.
And, yeah, there's James Woods. It's Owlman.
They're really on point with those. Like, they're really...
There are a few... I mean, the Green Lantern one was not good.
It had bits I liked a lot, but you're more or less right.
The cute Death Star, though, was nice. Where it's like the Death Star with personality. It's like cocking its head. And
yeah.
Yeah, but...
They're getting good at working within, like, their limitations as far as budget and, like, how far they can go.
But, And then Judd Winnick is apparently writing the story for Under the Hood, where Jason Todd comes back.
Seriously?
Yes.
That's one of the few Winnick stories that I enjoy with almost no reservations.
Where it's just, oh, that's shameless. Go on.
Yeah, he
Go
has
on.
A rocket launcher with LOL, like, scrawled in marker on the tip of the rocket. It's one of the bits where he is just, like, harassing Black Mask, and he's on a rooftop like this, like, hey, look out of your window, you know?
That was awesome. Okay, I could have done without him stabbing Onyx in the shoulder for no damn reason.
With the weird crooked blade. I still don't know what that was about.
Where they're just like, now he's evil. He's evil,
yeah.
See? Unambiguously
evil. I just assume she is still in that warehouse waiting for someone to come by and pull the knife out.
Because
she hasn't appeared since, has she?
She hasn't.
Yeah.
Wait, I think she was in... What was it? Where they had spoiler, but they kept taking the face out in the books. Like, they had the entire thing on Gotham Underground.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't read that one.
It started out really good, where...
They had, like, Johnny Stitches or something like that?
Yes.
Okay.
The first couple of issues I absolutely loved, because they had Dick go undercover as, like, Match's son.
Oh, yeah.
And Match's went to prison. And, yeah, it was just fantastic. But then it got more and more convoluted, like, wait, who's fighting who, why, and then it ended and absolutely nothing changed.
There were, like, 6 gang wars in Gotham over the course of maybe a year and a half.
Yes!
Like, but at a certain point, everyone's going to be dead.
I think she was working with the Penguin, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because she had the head tattoo, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
So I think she appeared there.
Weird.
However, what would be awesome is if she came in at the end of whatever Jason's storyline is and be like, you stabbed freaking shoulder. Bam!
Payback.
Take that, you red-headed stepchild. Literally.
I would read that comic. I'm looking forward to Girl Comics. Have you seen the lineup for that?
Oh,
pretty much all my favorite female creators are working on that book. Like, Ando Cinti's going to be in there.
You know,
Louise
I
Simonson.
Might actually cross over to Marvel for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
at
like...
At least for the space of that.
Everybody. And it's 3 issues, and it's another anthology book, but it looks great. And what I like is that it's all creator-driven.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the editors went to the creators and was like, hey, who do you want to do? And they're just like, oh, I've got this awesome She-Hulk story. I've got a great Iron Man story. And they just went wild.
Yes, I love those.
Yeah.
I wish they had more of those.
Definitely. And also Amanda Connor doing Marvel work, which I wouldn't turn down, like, for anything. But, yeah, I like that. I'm really digging Amazing Spider-Man right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the new story, they just released a preview puzzle. This was in 3 pieces before people put it together. And it's teasing the next storyline.
Oh.
Which is apparently about the time...
So they're just going to keep getting them married and...
I think it's
going to
be about the time their marriage actually broke up. Because we still don't know why it happened. We know they had, like, relationship troubles.
I thought she didn't like marriage breaking up stories.
This one, I do, because... I don't like the story that they broke up, but I like what happened after enough
mm-hmm.
to where it's kind of evened out.
Okay.
Because, like, something needed to be done to shake the series up, and, like, that was actually super effective. It's like if there was a story where Batman was a super jerk to someone for, like, 8 issues, and then at the end he's like, oh, holy crap, I'm a horrible person. And then all the rest is about him becoming better as a person. Kind of like that. Where he just gets over himself.
Where they kind of try to do that, but then they never...
It's always, like, the year of Batman getting softer for, like, the last 3 years. And it... Not almost. He had to die. But this one, it's... I don't know, it's Mary Jane and an unmasked Spider-Man reaching to each other from across an abyss. Kind of like the Michelangelo painting with man and God, with the finger just touching.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, sort of. Maybe it's just the composition.
Yeah.
But I assume they're actually going to say what happened on their wedding day. And, like, the lizard's in there, they've got a black costume Spider-Man. There's a freaking baby in, like, the background. And I want to know what that's about. Because so far, no one has a baby in the series, so, you know, maybe it's... Who knows? But it looks good. Like, I'm actually excited about it. But,
Oh, that's far less depressing.
Yeah.
We
we picked it up.
Yes, we did.
And also, the art's good. It's Pascal Ferry, who really should be on, like, a A-list book. Like, he should be able to draw anything he wants forever. But oh, so 2009 was also your first full year writing on the internet.
It was.
I think you started in September of 2008. It was like summer / fall, something like that.
Just flies by.
Yeah. What do you think?
I like it. I got far less harassing or threatening emails than I was expecting. Or comments.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
Just like, okay. It's not so bad.
And you're branching out. You got, like, IO9 now?
I've got IO9.
Which is always interesting to see, because it's different from your fourth letter stuff. Like, it's always kind of off-kilter a little. Like, the Dinosaurs one was really good. I like that one. Yeah, I was always curious to see what you thought after taking a year of abuse. And, hey, you should write about something else instead. No one likes Batman, that kind of thing.
People do like Batman, though.
Sometimes I wonder why.
Nostalgia.
Yeah, that's why I like a lot of things. But yeah, overall, I think 2010 is going to be pretty cool.
And coming on up on the 5th anniversary of Fourth Letter.
Yes, I'm going to have to figure out something special to do for March, because that's technically when the anniversary is. There was a couple different incarnations. There was like a live journal phase for a couple months in 05, and where I pretty much like read all the news sites ever and like kind of collated the news and added my own commentary. And then I actually called that Guerrilla Grodd, like G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A, which I didn't know Grant Morrison had already done in a book like years ago, but whatever. And then it eventually turned into Fourth Letter, and I brought on Gavin and a couple other friends.
See, I'm thinking Infinite Crisis, where you should just Photoshop a picture of you through the years.
Doing the Infinite Crisis continuity dance?
In different costumes.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what to do for the 5th anniversary. Because, like, we already... Oh, so...
In, five gold rings.
Man, you don't want to hear me sing. I was playing Rock Band at a New Year's Eve party. Rock Band Beatles. And I don't know a lot of Beatles songs. And I can't sing. So you can imagine how well that went over. But in 2009, we had 614 posts. Which is like 300 more than I was expecting.
Nice.
Yeah. And bigger and better things in 2010, I think.
What is the project you were planning on starting? Should we save that scoop for when you actually want to announce it?
Yes, and for when I've actually figured out what it is. But yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.